Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. Delighted you could be with us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show, we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget the email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m., and overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And, of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 24th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. Our topics du jour, as you may have heard, well, the National School Boards Association hates dissent against their racist critical race theory teachings, and they hate dissent against their non-scientific mask and vaccine mandates. So what do they do? Well, they write to Joe Biden and say, please, these parents are disagreeing with us and we can't handle dissent. So in the name of protecting us from domestic violence and terrorism, we need your help. So Biden goes ahead and gets Merrick Garland, the current attorney general heading up the DOJ, to mobilize these federal agents to go out there in parent land and attend these school board meetings so as to intimidate parents. Oh, but they're doing so under the guise of thwarting the supposedly egregious threats, which are really non-existent. So what should follow? Because that's all that's happening. These agents are going to go there under the guise of thwarting a non-existent threat. So we're supposed to believe that these parents are domestic terrorists. But Antifa and BLM, during 2020, in the early part of 2021, they're not, despite the fact that we saw with our own eyes that five cops were killed, 700 were injured, another 25 people were also killed in the melee. You had the burning and destroying of government property, as well as, government buildings and government vehicles, so all government property, all these things filling the federal definition of both insurrection and domestic terrorism. But we're supposed to ignore Antifa BLM when it comes to those terms, however, gratuitously apply them to parents for having the unmitigated gall to offer dissent in response to what they believe to be, and are rightful in their assumptions, a radical agenda pushing literature and aims and goals that are categorically antithetical, quite often, to what this country is all about when it comes to having a representative government with leaders who rule by the consent of the governed. You can't get to that point if you're going to take a portion of the governed and say they don't get to speak anymore. Screw that crap. If you're in attendance of one of these school board meetings and a federal agent gets up in your face and says you're not supposed to say mean things, or you're not allowed, you're not permitted to say those things, has no right to impose his will or her will on you when it comes to you offering dissent. in response to a dictatorial school board system that thinks it has the right to run roughshod over you. Obviously, we're going to be doing a little editing here. Anyway, assisting in the opining and analyzing, old friend of the show, Richard Manning, D.C. insider, who under President Trump frequented the White House quite often, very, very often. He also met with other high-level officials there on a pretty regular basis in his capacity as President of Americans for Limited Government. Richard Manning, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I share your outrage. It is absolutely incredible that an FBI that admitted last week in testimony before the House of Representatives that they have not been keeping a chronicle, keeping tabs, basically putting on what Antifa is doing, that they aren't looking at the combined crimes and saying, well, gee, perhaps that is domestic terrorism. This was from the assistant secretary in charge of anti-terrorism and domestic terrorism at the FBI. So you've got the FBI admitting that they, in fact, aren't tracking Antifa at all.
They're going to go ahead and track parents.
But they're going to track parents. And how they'll do it, it's a little more subtle. There aren't enough FBI agents to do what you described. But how they will do it is the FBI works with local law enforcement through something called fusion centers and other local so-called stakeholders, often people on the left from mosques and other places. And the fusion centers are designed to provide early warning signs against domestic violence. And that's what they purportedly do. But the reality is that's the vehicle they have to go and actually have people show up from various organizations to a school board meeting and then make a little report back to the D.C. about what happened and the names of people who were there and the like so they can begin setting up files. It is criminalizing speech.
Which is unlawful. You don't get to criminalize speech. That is unlawful. That is the embodiment of violating the law in the name of enforcing it. And I believe as a matter of language, unless, of course, language is no longer tethered to the meanings of the words that comprise it, that we can have courts slapping down these FBI agents. But unfortunately, they're going to rely on the process that gives them an opportunity to physically do all the crap they want to do anyway until their wrists are smacked later on. And when that happens, all those people harmed during the interim aren't going to be able to retroactively see any kind of remedy for the suffering they sustained. If you have parents who are subjected and marginalized in real time by federal agents and told that they no longer have access to their First Amendment rights, at least in practice, but only in name, well, that's the point when I believe that it's okay to get back in that FBI agent's face and tell him to back off fast. Or am I overstating it?
No, I think you're right. I think that right now, before any of that happens, I think you need to call your local sheriff, your local police chief, particularly if you're in a small town, small county, and let them know what you think about your right to keep embarrassed, not to keep embarrassed, but that too, but your right to free speech. And encourage them to outwardly, publicly reject the violation of your free speech rights at school board meetings.
Right. In other words, tell those FBI agents they're not allowed in that meeting. Right. Don't let them in. Don't let them in. What the hell are they doing there? They don't have no jurisdiction in that regard. This is up to the state and localities.
And that's exactly right. And by getting your local sheriff to do that, your local police chief to do that, what you're effectively doing is you're telling the school board that we're not, this isn't happening here. Back off. And then get your school board members and your county commissioners who fund your education system in your local counties, your county commissioners, they fund it through your property taxes typically, get them to say, not a dime goes to the National School Board Association. Not one red dime goes to the National School Board Association. If you are a member, you drop out. If you're not a member, you don't join. No money goes to NSBA. And we effectively drain the people who were the prime cause of this, people were used by the FBI to do what they wanted to do, by, you know, because things don't happen in 2 days in Washington, D.C. This was something that was planned in advance.
So you know what, my friend? I love your advice. I love your advice. I love your advice, but I think one thing has to be pointed out. What we're talking about actually is a kind of domestic terrorism. When you have people in government, whether they're elected officials or appointed officials or bureaucrats, when they collectively begin to disconnect themselves from the very body of laws they require the rest of us to follow, these are indeed tyrannical acts, as a matter of language. And this country has a long and storied history of knowing exactly what to do with tyrants. Isn't that fair to say, Richard?
It is fair to say. It's called state terrorism. That's what they're doing.
Precisely. They need to be called out for what they're doing. Richard, if you can, hang on the line for a second. Folks, going to be right back.
For more, go to ally.com/moguls. Each year, Ally Financial offers 50 students from historically black colleges and universities the chance to showcase their business savvy and compete for more than $200,000 in scholarships and internships. Ally's Natalie Brown.
The Moguls in the Making competition has become a driving force to forge new opportunities for HBCU students and to foster economic mobility.
The competition is presented by Ally, the Thurgood Marshall College Fund, entertainer Big Sean's Sean Anderson Foundation, and new this year, special contributions from actor Terrence J.
As a proud alumnus of an HBCU, I know the vital role they play in supporting and empowering black students.
Teams pitch their business ideas and take part in mentoring sessions.
An opportunity like this that allows students to step up and show their skills is so important to helping them reach their full potential.
This year's winning team, North Carolina A&T State University, developed a renewable energy business plan to help low-income families. For more, go to ally.com/moguls.
This report is brought to you by IBM. IBM thinks quantum computing can transform the business world. It uses principles of quantum physics to deliver a leap forward in computation to solve certain problems intractable for today's computers. Many businesses are simply curious about quantum technology. Others already have quantum skills. For these businesses and all those in between, IBM has launched the Quantum Accelerator to help businesses prepare for a quantum future regardless of their level of quantum expertise. IBM's Bob Sutor.
Quantum computing will transform technology in the coming years. IBM knows not all businesses have quantum computing skills today, but we think every enterprise can benefit from quantum computation. The Quantum Accelerator offers participants access to IBM's quantum computing tools. It provides foundational and technical training to executives and workforces, and IBM quantum experts also offer their expertise and advice. We want forward-thinking enterprises to be ready for quantum computers to become ubiquitous across the world.
For more information, visit ibm.biz/IBM Quantum to learn more. This report is brought to you by IBM.
Hi, I'm Ray Solano with your Healthy Choices Minute, sponsored by Prescription Dispensing Labs Pharmacy. Fall is in the air, and it's time to prepare for a change of seasons, a change of habits, and lots of new activities. The pharmacists at PD Labs would like to offer a challenge for our radio audience to become healthy again. Americans have the fastest growing waistline and results in a huge risk for future viruses and chronic disease. Soon, the Super Bowl of Sugar kicks off with Halloween and ends at Valentine's Day, and everyone gains another 5 pounds. Start today by setting an easy goal of losing 5 pounds in 25 days, and we'll give you $25 toward any purchase. Lose 5 and 25 and get $25. Start your day with an OptiCleanse shake and Mitoblast 2 capsules and experience increased energy and lose some pandemic weight. What do you got to lose? Call PD Labs Pharmacy today for free samples at 888-909-0110. That's 888-909-0110. Remember, you have a choice in healthcare.
Psst, Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And I think parents across this country are going to be stunned to learn, stunned, that if they show up at a local school board meeting, by the way, where they have the right to appear and be heard, where they have the right to say something about their children's education, where they have the right to vote, and you are attempting to intimidate them. Are you aware of any time in American history when an attorney general has directed the FBI to begin to intervene in school board meetings, local school board meetings?
I'm not aware, and I'm not aware that is not going on. Let me be very,
really,
very
this
clear.
Isn't about local school board meetings? That's not the subject of the memorandum? I thought that was in the memorandum.
The memorandum is quite clear. It's one page, and it asks U.S. attorney community and the FBI special agents in charge to convene state and local law enforcement partners to ensure that there's an open line of communication to address threats, to address violence, and that's the appropriate role of the Department of Justice to make sure that we are addressing criminal conduct and violence.
Yeah, Josh Hawley wasn't buying that at all. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate, once again. This is the oasis for those who, have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach, and you were hearing an exchange between Senator Josh Hawley, he's a Republican out of Montana, and he is talking with Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco and asking her if the FBI ever interfered in local school meetings in the past, and that parents are going to be stunned that the DOJ is attempting to do just that. Now, she claims that the memo was only to make sure that law enforcement is addressing criminal conduct and violence, quote unquote, but that seems to be falling in line with the old Aesop's fable. Remember, a tyrant will always find a pretext for his tyranny. A tyrant will always find a pretext for his tyranny. They want to impose their will on us, so naturally they have to give some kind of a justification that allows the government to transcend rights they otherwise cannot. Okay? Our Constitution has certain absolute restraints against government overreach. And intimidating people, telling them that they're not allowed to speak out forcefully because somebody else might interpret that as leaning in the direction of violence, is not going to cut it. Because by that measure, we've then given government the perfect tool to shut down all dissent, because they can always claim that such action is in the name of a more laudable goal. Put out the goal. And then all of a sudden, if you have the temerity to demand that your rights still be respected, bingo bango, by default, you are now endangering or are an enemy to that otherwise more laudable goal. That's what they do. It's the corrupted syllogism or fractured entomeme, wherein you presuppose a thing before you ever show it to be the case. There are no real hardcore threats that have been leveled against these school board members. In-depth reporting has shown that these guys can't come up with any examples. They got a couple of mild ones that, you know, where somebody's been disruptive here, or I think one person actually did have engaged in some physical alteration somewhere. But it's on a par with a saloon that gets a bit rowdy. So we're supposed to swallow the idea that Antifa BLM throughout 2020 and the first part of 2021 were just expressing their views over a very important issue and have nothing at all to do with domestic terrorism or insurrection. Oh, but parents speaking out against a curriculum that with which they're in disagreement. They're speaking out against a series of books with which they take exception. That somehow rises to the level of a domestic terrorism that before could never be attached to Antifa BLM. Are you out of your effing minds? Anyway, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing, all friend of the show, one of my semi-regulars, Richard Manning, D.C. insider, who under President Trump actually frequented the White House quite often. He met with not only the president, but a number of other high-level officials, and he did so in his capacity as the president of Americans for Limited Government. Richard, thank you so much for sticking around. We appreciate it.
Not a problem. And today we actually published, as a thing I did yesterday, a story about Rand Paul and his wife on Twitter yesterday. Expressed absolute amazement that the same FBI, the same Department of Justice that set the people free who and didn't prosecute the people who accosted them on the streets of D.C. after the president accepted his nomination, Republican nomination for president at the White House, that the same people accosted him and his wife, who accosted one of the Metropolitan Police officers, they were not prosecuted.
That's an equal protection violation right there. That's the 14th Amendment.
And this is a U.S. This is a U.S. senator, okay? This is a U.S. senator who was attacked. And the people knew they were attacking a U.S. senator based on what they were saying. So attacking a U.S. senator, no problem. Having sharp words with the local school board, oh, no, we've got to get law enforcement agency.
Can't have that. The only way this is going to stop, my friend, is when we stop just complaining about it but start physicalizing it when they get physical. The government has to be disabused of the assumption that it gets to disconnect itself from the very laws it requires the rest of us to follow. That is tyrannical behavior. That is exactly what tyrannical behavior is. Where am I mistaken?
No, I think it is. It's a classic definition of state terrorism. Way back 50 years ago, but a long time ago, I took a class at USC to get my degree called State Terrorism and learned all about how states will use their power to deprive people of their rights and eventually make it so they bend the knee to whatever the state wishes.
Saying that Antifa BLM somehow didn't make the definition of insurrection or domestic terrorism. I mean, let's look at it. Insurrection is defined by the feds as, quote, a violent uprising against an authority or government, while domestic terrorism is defined in part by the government. It's Title 18 as, quote, involving acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of the criminal laws of the United States or of any state and appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, or to affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, etc., etc. Now, Richard, I ask you, how does Antifa BLM's behavior not fulfill these definitions, and how do Democrats not to appear to be sociopathic by refusing to acknowledge the self-evident? And again, black lives most assuredly do matter. However, the organization bearing that phrase as its name most assuredly does not matter because they're trained Marxists. They don't give a crap about representative government. We know this because Antifa and BLM all came out in favor of the Cuban government against the people they were oppressing and blamed the U.S. for the uprising for having the temerity to support individual freedom. When things become this perverse and our government becomes a party to it, I think it's time that governments start beginning to watch its ass. Or am I overstating that, Richard Manning?
Well, I don't think you're overstating it. I think the challenge here is there are two sets of rules. And America can't stand when there's two sets of rules and that we need to have a single application. The bottom line is Americans need to stand up and say no. And the best place to do that is with those local elected officials, those local sheriffs, so they tell the FBI, not in my county, not in my jurisdiction.
Exactly. Contact your local sheriff. And if you want to push your way into my county and my jurisdiction, you can try to take me to court where you will lose. Isn't that fair to also say, Richard Manning?
100%. They need to do that. And that's the place you have the most power is with your local sheriff.
Words by which to live. Richard Manning, always a blast. Folks, stick with us. Going to be right
this
back.
This report is brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb. Multiple myeloma is a rare type of blood cancer that develops in bone marrow and affects plasma cells. Nearly 35,000 Americans are expected to be diagnosed with the disease this year. African Americans account for 20% of multiple myeloma cases, despite comprising just 13.4% of the U.S. population. With early diagnosis and various classes of treatments available today, multiple myeloma patients are living longer than ever before. Marva Adams has been living with multiple myeloma for several years.
As an advocate for the multiple myeloma community, I'm always seeking the latest news to help myself and others make informed decisions, especially for African Americans who are more than twice as likely to be diagnosed with the disease than white Americans. I encourage others living with multiple myeloma to speak to their doctor. Together, you can plan the treatment journey that's right for you.
It's important to talk to your doctor about screening, symptoms, and treatment. To learn more, visit myelomacentral.com. This report is brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb.
When's the last time you had your vision checked? You could be one of millions at risk for preventable blindness and not even know it. That's why the American Society of Retina Specialists is launching a new initiative called See for a Lifetime, See a Retina Specialist. ASRS Foundation President Dr. Timothy Murray explains.
Diabetic retinopathy affects more than 7 million Americans. As many as 11 million have some form of age-related macular degeneration. These conditions are among the leading causes of preventable blindness and vision loss in the United States.
The goal of the initiative is to educate and empower the public to understand the risk factors, recognize the symptoms, and safeguard their sight.
Early detection is critical. Thanks to advances in retinal disease care, we can successfully treat conditions that just a generation ago led to legal blindness. With regular, dilated retinal exams, you can preserve and even improve your vision, ensuring an active and independent life.
Learn more about protecting your sight at seeforalifetime.org.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s. Why should saving for retirement be any different? I mean, they go back to college, learn new instruments, start skateboarding. Whoa! Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. With ACEyourRetirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach from AARP. You'll get personalized recommendations based on your input that are easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back.
Woo-hoo! Gnarly move, Dad.
Thanks, sweetie.
So wherever you are in your retirement savings journey, head to aceyourretirement.org and start chatting with Avo today. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ray Solano with your Healthy Choices Minute, sponsored by Prescription Dispensing Labs Pharmacy. Fall is in the air, and it's time to prepare for a change of seasons, a change of habits, and lots of new activities. The pharmacists at PD Labs would like to offer a challenge for our radio audience to become healthy again. Americans have the fastest growing waistline and results in a huge risk for future viruses and chronic disease. Soon, the Super Bowl of sugar kicks off with Halloween and ends at Valentine's Day, and everyone gains another 5 pounds. Start today by setting an easy goal of losing 5 pounds in 25 days, and we'll give you $25 toward any purchase. Lose 5 in 25 and get $25. Start your day with an OptiCleanse shake and Mitoblast 2 capsules and experience increased energy and lose some pandemic weight. What do you got to lose? Call PD Labs Pharmacy today for free samples at 888-909-0110. That's 888-909-0110. Remember, you have a choice in healthcare.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Let me just ask you this. Is parents waiting sometimes for hours to speak at a local school board meeting to express concerns about critical race theory or the masking of their students, particularly young children? Is that in and of itself, is that harassment and intimidation? Is waiting to express one's view at a school board meeting harassment and intimidation?
As the Attorney General's memorandum made quite clear, spirited debate is welcome, is a hallmark of this country. It's something we all should engage in.
And no, I don't think so, Ms. Monica. With all due respect, it didn't make it quite clear. It doesn't define those terms.
No, it doesn't. No, it does not at all. Because these National School Board folks, the National School Board Association as a whole, despises dissent. They can't handle it. So they need to characterize it as if it's something far more lugubrious, far more threatening, as a way to dodge accountability for their half of the argument that needs to transpire. The best way to deal with speech you don't like is to allow for more speech. You're never going to get to the best solution by one side insisting they've already got and therefore don't need to have the debate because said debate is just inappropriate because, after all, that would impede the left's otherwise more morally based, greater laudable goal. Bite my ass! That's masturbated sophistry from 2,400 years ago, courtesy of Athenian specious crap. Why? Give me a break! You know, Socrates, I think, once said, the supreme object of a man's effort in private and public life must be the reality rather than the appearance of goodness. And that's what we're facing now. On the hardcore left, they're insisting, oh, this is all about higher standards and blah, blah, blah. And actually, it's nothing more than ways to circumvent what would otherwise be standards that would block them from doing the crap they're trying to do. Make no mistake about it. Ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. And once again, we're concentrating on this. National School Boards Association cannot stand dissent. They hate dissent against their racist critical race theory teachings as well as their non-scientific mask and vaccine mandates. So what's happened? Biden decided to go ahead and have his AG, Merrick Garland, mobilize federal agents to begin intimidating parents, all under the guise of thwarting these non-existent threats. The big question is, what the hell should follow? Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing, friend of the show, none other than Art Moore, news editor at WorldNet Daily. He previously served as an editor for Worldwide Newsroom, a senior news writer also for Christianity Today magazine, and by the way, was a correspondent covering pro and college sports for the Associated Press. Art, good to have you back. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing fine, thanks, Alan. Good to be here.
No, pleasure to have you. Pleasure to have you. Actually, there is something else we're covering, and I think you're more focused on this as well, although I know you're very, very well acquainted with these school board meetings and everything. But you're here to chat with something that I find fascinating, because Sweden and Denmark have suspended Moderna vaccines for those under 30 and 18, respectively. Sweden, if you're under 30, Denmark, if you're under 18, you're not going to be subjected to these vaccines, at least from Moderna, because there's apparently a verified increased risk of heart inflammation in those folks who are younger. I'm curious if that fact is going to alter any of Biden's vaccine policies, your sense of it.
Well, it certainly should. I mean, just today we found out Finland joined Denmark and Sweden in this.
What's interesting
is that the FDA panel that was tasked to decide whether or not to give the booster shots to younger people said no, 16-2. They said no. So that was the FDA advisory panel. And there was a CDC panel that said something similar.
I want you to say this to the folks. My people are driving around, buzzing around. You get lost in stream of consciousness, that type of thing. Please repeat what you just stated.
Sure. There was a federal FDA panel. These were the people who were tasked to decide whether or not we should give booster shots to younger people. And they said, now the lowest age is 16. So they said from 16 to 65, no, we're not going to do that. And they cited this issue of heart inflammation or myocarditis. That's just one issue. And that's exactly what Sweden and Denmark and now Finland are saying, is that we're going to completely stop giving this Pfizer vaccine to younger people because of this.
And Pfizer or Moderna? I'm sorry, Pfizer or Moderna? I think I was reading here was Moderna.
Sorry. Okay, you are correct. So it's Moderna, but the thing is that it's basically the same vaccine. It's this mRNA vaccine. It's this new technology. And
you know, Art, what infuriates me is you got Dr. Fauci out there saying, how dare you object to her wanting to have kids vaccinated? We've been doing this for years. Look at the MMRs, you know, the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccines. This has been commonplace. That is the epitomizing of apple-orange comparison, and incredibly intellectually disingenuous, because he's comparing shots for kids that are necessary to have because if the kids catch those, they're really in trouble. And they have a great likelihood of catching it if they're not. I mean, the there were all these other far greater dangers. But when it comes to COVID-19, the CDC's own numbers tell us that the kids have a survivability rate of like 99.98%. Damn it, man. That's only 0.02% risk. How is that enough to justify turning the world upside down for millions of children, Art Moore?
No, you're right. That's statistically, you know, almost zero. And the fact is that there are more people or more children who die of the seasonal flu than of COVID-19. We know COVID-19 targets older people. And so,
and we don't make them wear masks, do we, Art Moore? We don't make them wear masks for that, for flus. No, we never did. And what's the thing? Josh Hawley pointed out something good. He pointed out the masks, the people having objections to these things. That's actually quite sound. It's scientifically grounded, any objection to wearing a mask, because my understanding, and you correct me where I'm wrong, it's not the droplets, the COVID droplets that are a threat. I mean, they don't last on surfaces very long, and of course the mask can stop them. The biggest threat, the greatest accelerant of COVID-19, as well as the Delta virus and the other ones, are aerosols. Over 90% of what spreads COVID are through aerosols, and these aerosols are only 1/17 the size of the average pores in the best of surgical masks. And they're only 1/80 the size of the pores in the best cloth masks. So with such a mathematically verified lack of efficacy, what the F are we doing in this country with the crazy-ass mask mandates for kids? I ask you, sir.
No, you're right. And Anthony Fauci, back in the spring of 2020 on 60 Minutes, when he was telling us the truth, he said, you know, people shouldn't be going around with these masks. For one thing, just what you said is true, but also the fact that, you know, some of these viruses can begin to collect on masks, and then people put their hands on them and they put their fingers, rub their eyes and all this kind of stuff. It's just, we shouldn't
and
be
then you
this.
Really do get it. Then you really can get it.
Right. And also the studies have shown, and you'll hear people say, oh, well, no studies show masks work. But the studies that they point to, really, there's no statistical difference. And there are many more studies, including real life analyses, where they look at when was a mask mandate implemented in a certain country or a certain county or state. And you can see the cases go up dramatically after that. And so you could even make a case that, you know, it's you know, in some ways, maybe incrementally helping spread the virus.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And not only that, we got to remember if there's no efficacy to the masks, and as a matter of science, you point out, hey, the aerosols are only 1/17 the size of the pores in the surgical masks and 1/80 the size of the pores in the cloth masks. In my estimation, as a matter of numbers, as a matter of math, as a matter of language, we see the wanting efficacy of these things. And that being the case, it seems that we're all in a very strange universe right now where the government points to a circle and calls it a rectangle, and when you point out their disconnect, they treat that as if it's somehow an affront to humanity without ever making the connection. They can never do it. I mean, the horror that they like to associate with disagreement is something they can never validate. They can never show linkage between their assertions and the grounds necessary to validate them. These idiots have to learn that. They're going to have to tether their assertions to some measurable standard of accountability and dialogue or debate, or you're not going to be taken seriously, and especially when you start entering the arena of science. Oh, and please don't tell you people like you and me that we're not able to discuss matters of science when quite often all we're doing is pointing to thousands of doctors disagreeing with thousands of other doctors. Isn't that fair to point out, sir?
No, it absolutely is. And the interesting thing to me is that there are people on the left, people like Naomi Wolf, Glenn Greenwald, and Brett Weinstein and others, we're saying the same thing as people on the right. So there must be some truth there.
Yeah, they're coming around because they don't want to look like complete schmucks later on. They'd rather be one of those folks who could see the forest of clarity despite the trees of minutia when everybody else was rolling around in the minutia of left-wing sophistry. Anyway, Art, if you can, buddy, hang on the line for just a second, folks. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stick with us.
This report is brought to you by Amazon. Amazon Prime is known for bringing unparalleled speed and convenience to shoppers. But are you getting the most out of all Prime has to offer? In addition to fast, free delivery on millions of items, Prime membership also offers unlimited streaming of movies and series with Prime Video, including content you can't find anywhere else, like Tomorrow War. Prime members also enjoy millions of ad-free songs and podcasts with Amazon Music, plus books, magazines, games, at no additional cost, and so much more. And with Prime's newest benefit, members in most areas can get free delivery on prescriptions from Amazon Pharmacy and other prescription savings at 60,000 pharmacies nationwide. Plus, members get ultra-fast grocery delivery and free pickup from Whole Foods Market and Amazon Fresh in select areas, along with exclusive deals and savings on everyday essentials, gifts, and more on Amazon.com. To learn more about how Prime is constantly evolving to offer more convenience, selection, entertainment, and savings every day, or sign up for your 30-day free trial, visit amazon.com/prime.
In part as a result of the pandemic, spending on home renovations grew more than 3% to nearly $420 billion, according to a new report from the Harvard Joint Center for Housing Studies. A 2020 survey from the Research Institute for Cooking and Kitchen Intelligence shows that 78% of homeowners are planning a kitchen project in the coming year and would rather renovate than move. 60% of those surveyed feel that now is a good time to invest in their homes. This is significantly higher than average. Nicole Katchen, a homeowner, quickly realized their 20-year-old kitchen needed some help.
Everyone goes into the kitchen, whether we're cooking, eating, or entertaining. We wanted to make our kitchen more open and friendly, modernized with a big island, all new premium appliances, and lots of seating. We know Miele kitchen products are top quality that will carry us through. And with their great technology, design, and craftsmanship, we won't have to buy appliances again.
People are eager to invest in home improvements, both for enjoyment now and return on investment. For kitchen inspiration, go to MielaUSA.com.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt, and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. At Children International, we know that the journey to end poverty for good begins first with a child. It starts with their first checkup. Lesson, opportunity, job. That journey takes commitment from people like you and me to end poverty for good. Learn more at children.org.
I'm Jordan Sparks, and I want to share a story about how quickly life can change when a sickle cell pain crisis strikes.
My sister loved to dance. She worked so hard to be in a big production, but when the day came, she was in so much pain. She couldn't do it. She was crushed.
When a sickle cell pain crisis strikes, life can change in an instant. Together, we are stronger. Be part of the movement. Visit joingens.com.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I would thank you all for allowing me to speak to you tonight, but you tried not to allow it, yet here I am. Now, you only give us 60 seconds, so let me get to the point. You are all child abusers. You prey upon impressionable children and indoctrinate them into your insane ideological cult, a cult which holds many fanatical views, but none so deranged as the idea that boys are girls and girls are boys. By imposing this vile nonsense on students, to the point even of forcing young girls to share locker rooms with boys, you deprive these kids of safety and privacy and something more fundamental too, which is truth. If education is not grounded in truth, then it is worthless. Worse, it is poison. You are poison. You are predators. I can see why you try to stop us from speaking. You know that your ideas are indefensible. You silence the opposing side because you have no argument.
Let me just ask you this. Is parents waiting sometimes for hours to speak at a local school board meeting to express concerns about critical race theory or the masking of their students, particularly young children? Is that in and of itself, is that harassment and intimidation? Is waiting to express one's view at a school board meeting harassment and intimidation?
As the Attorney General's memorandum made quite clear, spirited debate is welcome, is a hallmark of this country. It's something we all should engage in.
And no, I don't think so, Ms. Monaco. With all due respect, it didn't make it quite clear. It doesn't define those terms.
No, no, it doesn't indeed. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. You were first listening to podcaster Matt Walsh. He's growing in popularity, and he was speaking to the Loudoun County, Virginia School Board. And as you heard, he called them child abusers and says they exist to indoctrinate children into their ideological cult. He adds that you guys are silencing opposition because your ideas can't be defended by arguing for them. You have no argument. And elaborating on that, if you will, almost magnifying that dynamic. You then heard Senator Josh Hawley, Republican out of Missouri. He's got in front of him a witness testifying by the name of Lisa Monaco. She's the Deputy Attorney General under Merrick Garland. And he asks her if parents objecting to CRT and COVID policies at school board meetings, asking if that should really be regarded as harassment and intimidation. He's asking if parents simply asking about and objecting to these policies, if that's the case, do they really deserve to be called harassers, intimidators? And, you know, recently there was an Associated Press supposed fact check of this discussion, wherein they claimed that it was wrong to suggest that the Department of Justice or the NSBA was ever referring to these people as these parents as domestic terrorists. But when looking at the WorldNet Daily, we see that there's some people weighing in on this. First of all, we have Bob Unruh, U-N-R-U-H, and he pointed out that actually the critics have been correct. The Associated Press said, oh, they're not being referred to as domestic terrorists. But turns out that the letter itself, I'm going to quote it right now. Mr. Rufo is who they're quoting. And this person makes it abundantly clear that the NSBA letter itself asks the administration to classify parent protests as a quote-unquote form of domestic terrorism and recommends prosecution under the Patriot Act. Now, Mr. Rufo, I mentioned Christopher Rufo, he's the one who was busily disabusing both his critics as well as the Associated Press fact check folks. Just wanted to get that out. Anyway, assisting in the opining and analyzing, we have none other than Art Moore, news editor at WorldNet Daily. Art, appreciate you sticking around. As you were listening, we had some folks speaking truth. Matt Walsh, I think, did it formidably, and Josh Hawley was a good cap. I'm wondering if the left really wants to stick with this battle, because if they do, they're not going to win, and they're going to come out looking horrible. Look at all the polls right now that are turning against both Biden and the Democrats. Those realities would seem to bear me out. Where am I mistaken?
Well, I think you're right. I think there's, on one hand, the issue of free speech, but also just the whole argument regarding critical race theory. And what it shows, I think, is that they've lost the argument. First, they said, well, we're not teaching CRT. That's just a theory. It's just an academic thing. And then they changed course and said, well, we should stop criticizing it. We're just, you know, talking about issues of race that we need to resolve. But that's not what CRT is. It's a Marxist-based philosophy that
it was born out of critical. It was critical class theory, wasn't it? It was critical class theory, right. You know, 70 years ago or whatever, and now it's just been resurrected, and they've put in a different word, but it's the same dynamic. Turn people against one another, turn them off to capitalism, right. Because capitalism, while it allows everyone to go as far as they want from wherever they begin, there are disparate results. Not everybody winds up at the same place, and they use that disparity of result as an excuse or a justification to show its unfairness. But I think we have to make people better understand that their right to equal opportunity is not a right to equal success. Otherwise, everybody in the NFL would get a touchdown because they kind of got close to the end zone, and they tried really, really hard. Am I being unnecessarily sarcastic? Sorry.
Well, no, I mean, and if you talk about the NFL or particularly the NBA, you know, it's not fair that the vast majority of players are black. We need to even things out. You know, we need to have some affirmative action.
Which is ridiculous,
of course. Nobody wants that. You want the best players, and they have the best players. The best players are playing, and it doesn't matter what color their skin is. And that's, you know, going back to Martin Luther King Jr., judging people by their character rather than the color of their skin. And that's not what CRT is. It's as you say, it's really pitting people against each other and saying that fundamentally white people are evil. And if that's the case, then we've already lost. There's no hope for us.
Yeah, but when you say that, when anybody says that, they are embodying the very racism they're ostensibly against, and they are doing so as a matter of language. Again, unless, of course, language is no longer tethered to the meanings of the words that comprise it. Very quickly, everybody, I'm talking with Art Moore of the WebMD, listen to me, WND folks. He's got a piece out entitled Moderna Vaccine Halted for Younger People in Two Nations. We were discussing, of course, how Sweden and Denmark halted the Moderna vaccination for people 30 and under. Well, 30 and under from Sweden, 18 and under for Denmark. You mentioned earlier that now Finland has added its name to the list. I really believe that more and more lefties are going to turn against their brethren because they don't want to individually look as if they were prolonged in their ignorance. They're going to want to be seen as folks who looked at the science, realized that the left was heading towards a ditch of otherwise avoidable embarrassment. Or I don't know, maybe I'm being too sanguine. Do you see more and more lefties coming out against their own on this because it's so obviously wrong? Your take, sir.
Absolutely, especially people who are libertarian types. They're speaking out. There's definitely something happening.
All right, gotta let it go there. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.